The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 13th of August. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the very lovely...
Bird.
Miss on a bike. What are you eating?
A protein bar.
A protein bar. You think you need some energy for the second half of the show?
I do. I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah?
I think this is a great show today.
Yeah, that's good.
You're clearly loving it because you're smiling and you're going all Kentish on us, or London, wherever you want to be today.
South London.
If Paul's smiling, we're having a good show, aren't we?
Yeah, nice wind. It's all right.
Okay. Who's nearest the door?
It's not that kind of wind. Okay, I've got loads of emails to read, and so have you, and I've got loads of tweets still coming in.
And so have you.
And so have you. Do you want to do something next?
I've just done all the coffee.
All right, then, I'll do something. I want to say a big thank you to Sean Murphy, actually. Before I went away on my holidays, I was invited to the Big Women...
How was it?
The Big Women... No, it wasn't the Big
you
Women
wanna
show.
Finish, you want to finish that.
I'm on dangerous ground
there.
There's
a funny story to tell you about this. You need to finish that. The Big Women business show.
Yeah, that's it. There that was it. Go. Yeah. It wasn't... Large ladies.
It's still wrong.
It's still wrong. I'll give you a great example of this and how wrong it is.
Yeah.
We sat in the car and Stephen looked at my legs. He went, "Oh, they're getting beefy." I looked at him and went, "No, no, right." I looked at him. I went, "Love, I know what you're trying to say there, but you don't say that."
It's not
your
nice.
Eyes said it all.
Yeah.
But he meant it, they're getting strong, love, because you're training hard.
Yeah.
I get it, but you don't say beefy legs, do you?
Always think of Bambi. Always think of Bambi and Bambi's mum. If you can't say it, nice.
He's Scottish. That's why I said about the Scottish. He's just text me now saying, "Oi, you can't say that." Mm-hmm. I can. Anyway. So you've just said it exactly the same. You didn't mean to say it, but it came out wrong.
I went into the Women in Business Big Show.
There we go.
Is where I went. Yeah. And what a great day it was, too. It was huge. It was huge. It was
beefy.
It was beefy. It was well beefy. It was.
Have you seen the gift that's just come in from Diamond Circle Weddings with the cake? It says protein bar. Really? It's got that bit from. What's that show?
I'm trying to
look at it now.
David Walliams.
Oh, yeah.
Little Britain.
Yeah.
So it was a great event. Opened by Kelly Tolhurst, MP, who's the Minister for Small Business.
I keep trying to get her on my show.
Yeah.
Doesn't answer even emails, clearly. She doesn't have an email machine.
Yeah.
No, she needs to get an email machine.
Now, I'll sort that out for you. That's not a problem.
Cool.
I've got a lot of time for Kelly. She's really good, actually. She's one of a few politicians that knows what she's doing because for many years she's run her own small business, a marine engineering business. So she does know what it's like, and that makes a huge difference. But the Women in Business Big Show was fantastic at the Longfield Academy, and I had a really good time.
You just won't be able to do it now. The Women in Big Show, the Big Women Show.
The Big Women Show.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
I'm really glad I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't qualify.
I think it's a brilliant media thing. Yeah, well, I would have called it the Big Women Show.
Yeah, we're going to follow up with Big Babes. Big Babes on tour.
No, that's just silly.
No, it was great fun.
Yeah, good
on the 5th of September, there's an FSB Southeast Women in Business brunch. And it's hosted by Sue Hainsby. And the speaker is the CEO of Avexio Limited, one Amanda Flanders. So do try and get along to that. You can find out about it by going to eventbrite.co.uk, Women in Business Brunch, Northfleet. And that's on the 5th of September. So cool. Do get along to that.
The Kent Medway and Medway Business Fund offer 0% loans between £50,000 and £500,000 to small and medium-sized businesses in Ashford, Canterbury, Dartford, Dover, Folkestone, Hythe, Gravesham, or is that right? Gravesham?
Yeah, Gravesham, yeah.
Excellent. Maidstone, Medway, Sevenoaks, Swale, Thanet, Tunbridge and Morling. Is it Morling and Malling?
Morling.
Morling and Tunbridge Wells. You speak funny up here.
Yeah.
Pre-applications are now welcomed. What? You were going to say something.
I was just going to say, for God's sake, nobody mentioned Trotscliffe. Or Trosley, as it's pronounced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, you need to go on to www.kent.gov.uk and there's a big line. Just put in Kent and Medway Business Fund. That's quite an interesting I wonder what the application is for that. I wonder what the criteria is, because it just sounds too easy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
There's always criteria. I saw them going on about one again today, and I almost responded. And I thought, do you know what? I can't be bothered anymore.
Yeah,
it's match funded.
Yeah.
So if you think match funded is small business, you've got to raise the other 50,000 to do the minimum.
R&D tax claim.
Yeah, that could possibly do it.
That's what I normally recommend to people.
Where do we go for that?
You could come and see me.
Did you see what? That is the best conduit you've ever had.
I'll tee them up. You knock them in.
Sounds like a plan. I'll get the money. How's that?
No, but seriously, it's true. I tell a lot of people, they go, where am I going to get the match funding from? But if you do an R&D tax claim, you can...
Absolutely.
If you got
and where would you go for one of those in Kent?
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Rift.
Yeah.
Rift R&D.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, that's the place.
Seriously, though. No, seriously, I would. Good. Right. There's a lunch and learn, if I can find my glasses. Well, I've done my glasses. Hold on. Here they are.
And usually on your head.
I know. That's why I put my hand up there and all I found was my headphones. Lunch and learn with Orchard Employment Law and Hawksafe on Wednesday the 18th of September from 12 p.m. till 2 p.m. at the Case Sports Centre in Cobdown, that's at Aylesford in Maidstone. Are you prepared for the changes in law which will take place next year? Do you know how to conduct a risk assessment? This seminar will improve your knowledge of employment law and health and safety so that you can manage staff more confidently and effectively. Orchard Employment Law and Hawksafe have joined together for this lunch and learn event to help local business owners and managers with these important topics. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's an employment law specialist, trainer and public speaker, and she's going to be talking about getting ready for the changes in HR law, the 2020 changes in employment law legislation, what should be in an employment contract, and managing staff absences and performance. You're also going to hear from Andy Haith, who's a health and safety consultant and a CITB accredited trainer, on risk assessments, what they are and why you need them. He'll look at what the law requires us to do with respect to risk assessments. How do you know what your business needs to do? Well, we'll concentrate on what hazards are, as this is the foundation of the assessment process. Understanding what hazards are will give you the confidence to take this training back to your business and have the conviction to review your current risk assessment procedures. It's just £32, and if you want to book a ticket, if you go to Eventbrite, Lunch and Learn Employment Law.
Cool.
Nice one.
A full report and video from the University of Kent, KBS, Kent Business Summit on the 2019 are both now available to read or download and laugh at me and Deborah Turner on the front. Thank you. www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. Go along to these things because they are, I always say this about Kent University, their business summits, their business, what they call bite-size
events, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, there's one coming up in September. I'm going to start publicising it soon. They're free to attend as well. And they do some fantastically innovative topics that they
cover.
You
meet different people.
You do.
You meet academia. You can have a real good discussion with them and not agree with them. And you just all hug at the end, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't emphasise
that. You know
what
I mean, don't you? Because usually we're like, oh, no, you're wrong. And
yeah.
It's not like that at all.
No, absolutely. And one of the things I like about the Kent Business School and the people that they deal with there, as you say, there are a lot of academics, professors from the business school, but they will listen to small business owners and their practical real life experience as well. You know, so they'll tell you the theory behind things, but then if you go, that's good in theory, but in practice, they'll listen. They listen and incorporate it and answer. So it's really good. ZC Social Media, the lovely Zoe Cairns and team, they've got a Mastering LinkedIn for Business event coming up on Wednesday the 21st of August from 9 a.m. to 12:30. And they've got Twitter for Business on Thursday the 22nd of August, a very special day.
It is.
Oh, yeah. 9 a.m. till 12:30. If you want to find either of those and book your place, zcsocialmedia.com. What you got?
I was going to talk about the King's Summit. Do you remember earlier they tweeted in?
Yeah.
So this is the King's Summit Business Scale Up Conference. And this is on Thursday, the 10th of October, 8 a.m. in the morning till 4 p.m. in the afternoon. I like that time for an event.
Mm.
I like 8 till 4. Don't want to get to go on till 5. It's just me. Kent County Cricket Ground, in partnership with Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce and the ICCC, sponsored by Wilkins Kennedy Accounts and HR Go Recruitment. Are you looking to scale up your business but are not sure where to start? And would you like to achieve over, I always say this and I'm like, wow, really? Over 20% growth in turnover in less than 1 year. Then this event is for you. A full day conference will empower you with the knowledge, tools and strategies proven to be highly effective for business growth. Now, here's what you've got. You've got speakers lineup is this. You've got Simon Teague, the author, co-director of the New Level Results and co-founder of the King's Summit. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Managing Director of Orchard Employment Law. You've got Stuart Godwin, who is the dynamic communication coach and public speaker. You've got Julia Bernard-Thompson, who's a business sales coach. You've got King James, who's the founder of the King's Summit and the pastor of the Favour House Church. And you've got Ruth Whitaker, CEO of Mission Aviation Fellowship UK. You need to go and book your visit on www.thekingssummit.com.
Fantastic, thank you. I've had a tweet from Construction Expo. They say, join Peter Searle from Business Advice Invicta for how, it's a Twitter handle, sorry, so it's Biz Advers Invicta, how to bid and win profitable work. And it's only taking place at the Construction Expo, which is on Thursday, the 26th of September, at the Sussex Event Centre at Ardingly. If you want to find out more about it, give them a follow on Twitter. Construct Expo is their Twitter handle.
Nice. We've got Marsh Breakfast Networking, and that's on the 22nd of August and the 26th of September. And that's from 7:45 in the morning till 9:15 in the morning. And that's at the Ship Inn at Dymchurch. And that is marshnetwork.co.uk/bookings.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, surveyors over there in Rochester. And they say,
can I moan about them a minute?
You want to moan about them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
go on then.
Because they usually send over some great photos. We haven't had any
today.
Michael Parks.
Yeah.
Send us over some photos of what you got.
Yeah, they know.
They do, and they're just brilliant.
Lovely buildings.
You're
that
like,
they got.
What is she going to say?
No, do send over photographs.
Yeah, we love it.
There's some people are quite reticent to do that with the Bunker Show because they think they're just, you know, I don't know, overloading us with what...
We love it.
But we love it. You know, if I don't want to read it...
Interaction.
If I don't want to read it, I won't read it. So it's not a big problem. Send it to me. But anyway, a big thank you for the shout-out, Michael Park Surveyors. They're lovely folks over there. And Roland and the team at Dragon Co-working in Chatham. Feel that Friday freedom and say goodbye to the commute for the last day of the week with the Dragon's Co-working Commuter Package.
We thought this was genius,
didn't
we?
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Book a tour and trial day now. So give them a follow on the Twitter, Dragon Co-working, and book your day out of the office, in the office,
Roland,
on a Friday.
Genius. Yeah. Genius on
I've
that.
Stolen it. I've stolen his idea.
You know what Picasso said?
Yeah, yeah.
Good people copy.
Yeah, exactly.
Great people steal.
Yeah. So if you want to do a commute
day
in Canterbury, you can.
It is true.
Oh, and Jules has been on.
She's moaning about the state of the studio the other week.
Was
with
she?
Crumbs.
Oh, right.
None of us eating here.
Blimey, crumbs.
Oh, crumbs.
Yeah. That's very 1950s as well, isn't it? Crumbs, bunter of crumbs. Jules has been on. She says, hello, bonjour. Bonjour, ça va?
Oui, ça va bien, merci.
Yeah. Venerable, please give a huge, so huge it's in capitals, shout out to the amazing Dan Juby of Spinnerjet. He's tidying, cleaning weeds from the front drive and the back patio. Is that a euphemism? What?
Behave.
Sorry.
Don't get me started.
Oh, she's corpsed again. And there's a lovely picture of Dan with his hose sorting out her patio. He's very good. He does mine. I can highly recommend him. Spinnerjet on the Twitter.
I was showing Stephen because he's another one who puts great videos up. And I was going, Stephen, look at this. This is Dan. He does these to patios. Yeah. He's like, all right, Sarah, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's clearly he doesn't call me bird at home, you know.
Does he not?
Not.
What's he called you, oi?
It depends. This morning he wasn't really speaking to me on my bike.
I don't blame him.
No, exactly. Yeah. So it was just very funny. And another one who just, the images of what he does sell more than actually the words.
Yeah, yeah, because he does before and after pictures of the stuff that he cleans. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
He does a load of stuff for me at home and he's absolutely brilliant. I highly recommend him.
Yeah.
He also cleans Fruitworks as well. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. I will read some.
I have to say, it's the busiest we've had during a holiday.
Especially for August, yeah, absolutely. I do want to talk to our next guest fairly shortly, but I'm just trying to make sure I've caught up with everyone. Oh, blimey. Tracy, I don't know if you read this. Tracy Ferguson said, I'm lost with all the complexities of the tax talk. What a minefield. Hot or cold food, biscuit or cake. Who knew there was so much involved?
Who knew, Nettie?
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew?
Oh, that's what Jules is saying. I cleaned the studio last week. There were crumbs everywhere.
Well, say thank you.
Yeah.
Well, they must have been yours, Jules.
Well, Jules was the only one in here, and she runs a food show.
Thanks, Jules.
So who do you think made the crumbs in the first place, huh?
Crumbs.
Jules. Anyway, do you know what? I think we ought to introduce some more common sense into the show.
Yes.
And talk to Sonia. We'll have to include Nettie as well.
I rode by Sonia's the other week.
Did you?
I did. I rode by.
Did you come in?
No, because I was on my bike.
Yeah, you could.
I can't. I was training, Sonia. I was training.
So, anyway, it's a pleasure to welcome for her monthly appearance in the Counting House, the lovely Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting. Annette, welcome.
Hi. Sorry, I just feel like I always turn up and cause chaos. But I do, don't I?
No, but you always turn up and cause chaos. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
But we love you anyway. And we love a bit of chaos on this show because it kind of papers over the crack. Is she onto another protein bar?
It's
got chocolate round it.
Basically what Bess got is a chocolate cake. That's and she's trying to disguise it.
And she's pretending it's a protein bar and that she's all healthy.
Rude. This has got cacao in it.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Carry on.
Is that like cocoa but pronounced strangely?
No, Nettie. We've had this discussion before about cocoa and cacao.
Yeah.
It's got all the great oxidants in it before it turns into cocoa. Carry on.
Quite a lot of justification there.
Yeah, do you know I'm on B12?
I'm sticking to the gin.
Right. Okay, listen.
Anyway,
who have you got for us, Nettie?
I've brought you a very sensible lady this week. No, this is Sonia. So, Sonia, we started working with us at RIF probably about 2 or 3 years ago
isn't it?
That's right. And Sonia never fails to amaze me because she doesn't know this, but I sneakily look at her website every now and again when I see her name on a report or something. And she is the most amazing creative artist, I'm going to say, who actually turns it into cake.
Mm-hmm.
And you've really got to hear the story because it's really good fun. And when I went and met Sonia, I'll never forget, she gave me a biscuit that her mum had made.
Right.
Not even her own.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah?
Yes.
Not even her own produce.
Was it a vintage biscuit?
It was. Her mum's lovely. She's German.
She's German.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It was a beautiful biscuit, but I thought, you know, I'm going to get one of Sonia's treats.
So it was a German biscuit?
Yeah. Got a treat from her mum. No treat from Sonia.
She's an amazing baker, though.
She is, but so are you.
What are those rolls that the Germans eat? Brötchen?
The chocolate ones, which are like sour.
Brötchen.
Brötchen, yeah.
Bread rolls.
Yeah. Brötchen, yeah. Yeah,
I know. I was thinking of more of the chocolatey.
Stollen.
No, it's a chocolate. No, it's almost a donut. Yeah. I'm thinking of. It's a bit like a donut. I'll post you one.
No, but Brötchen. Years ago, I was working in Bremen, and being a South London boy, I missed my full English breakfast. But they had Brötchen and cheese and ham, and I absolutely fell in for that. The Brötchen were really nice.
It's the best way to start a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So,
no problem. I think I'm going to leave you to talk to Sonia because I think
that's a good idea.
Chaos as usual. But
yeah.
She has a great, like I said to you, Paul, she has a proper kitchen table to what she's got now.
Mm.
Story.
Okay. Well, let's start at the beginning. Sonia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's the Whitstable Cake Company.
Correct.
It's here you are. So tell us about your journey. What made you start? When did you start baking cakes? And we'll go from there. Let's start with that.
Okay. So I'm actually a primary school teacher by trade.
Right, okay.
I was a primary school teacher for 14 years. And I fell pregnant and on my maternity leave discovered baking. So I haven't baked all my life or anything like that. It's a fairly recent thing.
Mm.
And I suppose
I just feel the need to inject this. So you were pregnant and you decided to bake. Was that some kind of obscure? Was that, you know, were you kind of you couldn't get hold of a pickle and
yeah,
and,
no, and wasn't enough. It was not enough. I needed flour and sugar, all sorts of cocoa, not cacao.
Yeah,
I needed it in my life.
Right.
But yeah, so I started baking and. So after my daughter was born, I decided that I wanted to start turning my little bakes into something that looked a little bit more attractive than slapped together with a bit of buttercream. And
So when you started, you were just baking for your own consumption?
Yeah, for myself and my husband. And, I made a couple of cupcakes and they looked pretty rubbish, to be honest. And we ate them and they tasted great. And I said, I'd love to learn how to make these just look a little bit prettier. So I went on the internet and Googled cake making courses in Kent, and I found a really small place somewhere down on the south coast, and it was an afternoon course, a couple of hours on a Saturday, and I went down and I loved it. I had so much fun decorating these cupcakes, and there was lots of other ladies in similar sort of situations to myself, and took the cupcakes home, took about 50 photographs of them from all different types of angles, and I had all these cupcakes, took them round to a friend's house, and she said, oh, they're lovely. She said, will you make my wedding cupcakes? Pardon, what? No, I don't do that. She said, oh, no, they're lovely. She says, look, I'll pay for your ingredients, I'll do this, that and the other. And she said, but just, I would love you to make them. I said, oh. So she kind of persuaded me, and I said, how many do you need? Thinking she'd say 20 or something. She said, 60. And can you decorate a cake to go with them as well? No, I can't. No, I cannot do that. She said, yes, you can. And she had complete faith in me. But it wasn't enough for me. So I then went back online and Googled wedding cake cupcakes. And I found a company based in Crowbridge, who did slightly more advanced courses. And so I went along to one of those.
Okay.
And from that point onwards, it became an addiction. I loved it. I loved the people I met. They were proper cake makers. They knew what they were doing. And of course, at this point, I was baking and baking and baking and practicing these cupcakes because I couldn't get them wrong for my friend. Got to the wedding, set up the wedding cupcakes. And at the wedding, I had 3 inquiries for orders. And I kind of went, I might be onto something here. I'll just set up a little company, because I knew that at the point you take payment for stuff, it's illegally, you know, you have to register, you have become a business, whether you like it or not.
Very similar story to Michael's in a lot of ways.
Very similar. Yeah. So I was smiling like mad when he was talking about it. So I did, I registered with HMRC, I let Environmental Health know, and I was literally working on my kitchen table with a handful of cake decorating implements, and somebody said to me, oh, you should get a Facebook page and put all your lovely little creations on there. So I did. And within about a fortnight, a complete stranger contacted me and asked for a cake. And I was like, oh, this is getting proper now. And she wanted a castle cake. And I didn't know what I was doing on this cake. It was for her daughter's 3rd birthday. And she only wanted a little cake she got. It was bigger than a wedding cake. It was huge, absolutely enormous, but she loved it. And she actually has become she was a regular client. I recently did her wedding cake. But yeah, it sort of snowballed from there. She started recommending me to her friends, and it took off from there. And very quickly, after a couple of years, I sort of outgrew the kitchen counter. And we did some work at home, had a big extension built, and I said to my husband, can I have a cake studio built, please?
As you do.
And I think he just wanted me out of the kitchen, to be honest. As it was starting to sprawl everywhere. And so I had a cake studio built and got quite busy. So I put an advert out for somebody to come and work for me on an ad hoc basis and do a bit of modelling and stuff like that. And I found Joe, who has worked with me ever since. And a couple of years ago, it was about 3 years ago, I touched base. I got recommended Rift, and Nettie came to speak to me, and we talked through the sort of implications of having a real business with premises. And at that point, I shelved it because I panicked. I was a bit scared of it.
It's me, probably.
Yeah. Well, and Nettie has that effect on people.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to rant about this. Yes, I am. This annoys me more than anything else. Mm. You know, people don't understand the ramifications of regulations that people make without thinking through. And almost every regulation that's ever been put out by any politician has negative impacts on business that drive it in a different way. And one of the problems for people such as yourself that are making artisan foods is when they come across the actual business implications and they're all the shenanigans around VAT and all that kind of, quite a lot of people just give up and they just go, do you know what? It's really not worth my while starting a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's appalling that we force people down that route.
It's very intimidating. I mean, I'm a teacher. That's what I do. I'm not a business person. And as Nettie will probably know, they must have the patience of a saint. My accounting work is knowledge is nil, and I'm forever emailing.
Yeah, but we
over.
Can't make cakes.
Yeah, no. but this is the entire thing, isn't it? The vast majority of people that go into business aren't accountants or tax specialists or anything. We go into business because we like building bikes, or because we like making cakes, or we like building websites. Mm. And then the government tried to make us into accountants, and go, well, you've got to do digital tax returns and VAT returns. You know, if we do all the work for them and then give them all the money, what's the point? What is the point in being in business? Yeah, there's no point in being in business if you're giving half of it to the government and doing the work for them to get the half of the money as well. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so many businesses stop at that point because they don't want to go that next step. And it is tough, you know.
Yeah.
I know lots of people that have artisan food businesses, you know, making pickles or chili sauce or cakes or whatever, and they start out making great products on their kitchen table. But you get to a point where you have to scale up, and at that point is where it becomes really, really tough. Yeah. So when you got to that point, you just said to the other half, build me a studio, mate.
Well, and we operated really successfully out of the studio.
Yeah.
It was great. But then again, there was another shift and we got busier and busier and busier. Mm. And sort of chance would have it, a premise came up very close to where my mother lives in Whitstable. And it's a beautiful, beautiful shop. It's such a pretty looking shop.
Mm. It is. Yeah, it was. It. Yeah, yeah.
And I knew that was where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And as luck would have it, the guy that was in there as a tenant was leaving. And I just went along and I got the place and I was really lucky to get it. And we needed to transform it from a greasy spoon calf into a cake shop. Hmm. So, yeah, lots of work.
So I haven't been to your cake shop. So it's a shop, but is it also your premises where you construct cakes?
Well, they do all sorts of things.
We're sort of branching out. When I first took the premise, my idea was that the cake baking and the decorating would happen there, and I thought, right, I'll also sell cake making tools and stuff like that. People were coming in and they were ordering cakes, but they weren't buying the retail stuff. So I needed to get rid of that quickly because that was not making me any money. But what people were doing is they were coming in and saying, this is a lovely place. Do you serve coffee?
Right.
No, I'm not a coffee shop. And I got fed up of saying it after about a few months. I bit the bullet and thought, right, I need to get myself a decent coffee machine and put some tables and chairs in here and let's give the customers what they were asking for. They clearly want to sit and have coffee, even though Whitstable is awash with coffee shops. We're not in the centre of town, so there's nothing like it in the area.
Mm.
And so we also serve teas and coffees, and so you can come in and buy cake to take away. You can order a birthday cake. We do everything on site, everything. Mm. But the latest sort of evolution came when a customer came in and said, do you do afternoon teas? I said, no, I don't do that. Would you do that? Okay. So I turned myself my hand to afternoon teas, and they're becoming really massive.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pop over there and go, do you do breakfast? Do you know what? I haven't had Bertram for ages. Knock us out some Bertram, love, eh?
Sonia's got to learn to say no.
No. There's a big market. There's a big market for German breakfast in Whitstable, let me tell you.
No, please. I think my husband would divorce me. But, yeah, so we do. I mean, the afternoon teas are proving really, really popular.
Yeah.
And it's small. I've only got four tables in there, so I can fit the maximum sort of about 18 or 20 people in there. But people are coming in because they've heard they're great afternoon teas, and it's lovely. And it's the personal service. It's me.
Yeah.
It's me that does it.
And that's the thing. It's the same with Michael, isn't it? You know, if it wasn't you, it wouldn't be the same, and it wouldn't work in the same way.
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it difficult to scale up, because unless you start cloning yourself, there's no kind of real way out of it.
No,
interesting.
I've got Jo who does, she works on the cake decorating side, and she's a phenomenal talent, and I really would be lost without her. But she prefers to be on the cake decorating side around the corner, whereas I prefer a bit more of a customer-faced sort of approach, and I like being with my customers and talking with them, and that's where I prefer to be. So it kind of works out really, really well in that respect. But it has got to that point where I think I can't really get much busier, because that means I need to hire somebody properly. And then when I get to that point, well, who do I find? Who do I find that's me, as you know, that cares this much about my business, that talks to customers in the same way that I do? I know that person is out there, and I know eventually, hopefully, I'll have to find that person. But I love what I do, so I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing at the moment.
It's it's interesting, isn't it? Because so many things now in a rule-based society prevent you doing simple things that once upon a time were the basis of anything we do. A classic example, because the French ignore rules completely and don't care about them. Driving around France, the amount of little places you come across that's just got a sign outside that just says boulangerie, yeah, and you go there and it's somebody's kitchen.
Somebody's kitchen, yeah.
And they're just knocking out a few bits of French bread, yeah, basically.
They've done that forever, though.
I was just about to say the same. You know, in a medieval cottage, and you probably find that 17 generations of their family have been knocking out
bread.
And
they'll continue doing that.
And they'll continue doing it. There's no health and safety certificate on the wall. There's no food handling certificate. They're in the middle of nowhere, so no one's ever going to find them apart from the few people that buy their bread there.
Well, they're serving what they were for.
Yeah, yeah,
which
exactly.
Is to serve the community that they live in.
And those community businesses are being ruled out by over-regulation and overruling things that are just pointless. They're put in place for big businesses, yeah, and it kills small businesses. I'm going to stop ranting about this in a minute, but it just drives me nuts, because I love businesses like yours, Sonia. They are a focal point of the community, as Bert said, you know. Yeah. Your business, I'm not sure where it is because I don't know it, but
it's Whitstable.
But Sonia,
that was a joke.
But Sonia said it's not in the high street.
It's not as beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, your community isn't just Whitstable, it's your part of Whitstable as well, isn't it? And that is fantastic if we can run a business like that. I just love little businesses like that. I love micro businesses like that, but sometimes it makes it very hard to run them. So, from your point of view, how long have you been going now?
Oh, well, since I started on my kitchen table, about 7 years, well, just over, coming up for 8 years. And the shop will celebrate its third birthday. I've been open 2 years, yes.
Second birthday.
I got to think then. On the 1st of September.
Okay. And apart from the breakfast that you're going into, what's the plans for where you go from here?
I do have something on the horizon, but I can't tell you about that just yet.
Production?
but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely to focus and build up on the afternoon tea side of things.
Okay.
Because that could become a bigger thing than what I'm currently able to provide.
Okay.
On the premises, Sonia, or you... Are you? Oh, I've done it.
We're going to wheedle it out of her.
I can tell you off air.
What's the most outrageous cake you've made? Because I love your creations.
Gosh, there isn't. I don't suppose there's anything that's really outrageous, because I have always turned away orders.
Okay, so what about the most intricate?
Hold on. I want to find out what she turned away orders for.
Rude bits.
Rude cakes. Yeah. I knew it was going to be. I wanted to know about
them.
That.
I won't do them. Yeah.
It's Whitstable, darling. She's classy.
The one that's caused us the most challenging sort of problems has been the an absolutely huge helicopter cake that HM Coast Guard commissioned us to do.
Right.
They were opening up Lydds Air Base,
right,
and yep. Coast Guard Base. I think it was last year, just over a year ago, and they wanted an absolutely enormous helicopter that was exactly like the helicopter it was supposed to be. And we made it with a rotating blade on the top, and there was a lot of measuring and just getting it completely perfect. And I was due to go to Disney World.
Mm.
On the day that it was supposed to be delivered, so I asked Jo to deliver it, and bless her, she said yes, but unfortunately her father became ill, so she couldn't deliver it. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to come back from Disney or go a day later or something. But fortunately, a local taxi driver who I know stepped into the breach. He was so nervous having to deliver this cake because he knew how important it was, but he did a brilliant job. Mm. But that cake caused us a lot of problems, but so much joy when it got to the place it was supposed to get to. And
Wow. And how long in advance do people have to order their cakes from you now? Because I remember you telling me early days how long your waiting list was.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but having the shop has allowed us to do more short-term orders. So we have actually had somebody come in on a morning emailed me at 7:30 in the morning saying it's my son's birthday and we completely forgot to order the cake.
Right.
He picked up his iced cake at 4:30 that afternoon.
Well done.
Right.
We can't always do that, unfortunately. No. But we always say to people, if you know you're having a party and you know you're going to need a cake, just come down, get it in the diary. Just do it. Doesn't matter if you don't know what your cake is, what you want, how many people are coming, just put it in the diary, because when we're full, we're full.
Yeah.
So I don't really know the answer to that, Nettie.
Okay.
I just don't.
What about wedding cakes? How long in advance are you doing those?
Are you trying to tell us something?
No, nothing at all.
I got all excited.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So excited. I'm going to be a bridesmaid again.
Yeah. I'm going to be page of honour.
Yeah, that would be you.
We like, again, as much notice as possible, particularly if your wedding is during the peak season.
Mm.
But again, we've taken orders with 2 weeks' notice. You know, people have been let down. They've all their
or suddenly decided to get married.
We've had shotguns.
I was bored. I got married.
Had a free weekend.
Yeah, we couldn't think of anything else to do, so we popped down to church, rang up Sonia. She could do us a cake, so we were
an afternoon tea.
Yeah.
But I imagine a lot of people do bit way in advance.
Yes, they do, but also having the shop front has changed things slightly, which was really unexpected. People are coming in and giving us less notice because we're a shop.
Mm.
You go into a shop, you can order a bunch of flowers to be delivered the next day. Why can't you do that with cake? So actually people ordering wedding cakes, they're doing it sort of now for September, October time, which never happened when I was working from home.
Mm.
So I remember you telling me when you were starting out, it was like months.
Absolutely. Now it's, I think, because Jo's with me more often and we've got more space, it's less restrictive. And I've got a better oven. I've got a big industrial.
That's brilliant.
But you also, because you have visible premises, you have what would be called walk-in.
Yeah.
So people walk past like, oh, cake shop, they look nice.
Yeah.
I might get a cake. It's our Lucy's birthday next week. I'll get a cake.
Mm.
Yeah, and they come in.
We get that all the time. People come in, they have a cup of coffee and they have a slice of cake. And they're like, oh, we need to order such and such and cake. Yeah. And they've walked out and they've ordered their cakes. And it's great.
Yeah.
Get it all the time.
Yeah. Mm. And that is a function of being available and on show, as it were.
Sonia, can I take you back a little bit? You said there was one point that just intrigued me. You said to me, there was this point that I got to and I thought, right, I met Nettie and I've got to build, I can build the business up. And you shelved it. You said, I put it on the shelf.
Yeah, so Nettie came to see me and it was 3 years ago.
Say nice things.
No, she was brilliant. She was really good. She talked me through loads of stuff and I was like, right, okay, I can do this. And then I sat back and it was self-doubt. It was, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I've got no business experience. I don't know what I'm doing. Yes, I can decorate a cake. Yes, I can talk to clients. But actually having a a premise, that means dealing with a whole new set of problems and issues and laws and regulations and stuff that I know nothing about. Mm. And I think Nettie spoke to me then about becoming a limited company as well. And then it wasn't probably until about 6 to 8 months later that I went back to it. I got rid of those self-doubts, and I don't know what caused that. I don't know what it was, but it was a case of, I'm going to do this now. I'm in my mid-40s, not as young as I used to be. If I don't do this now, I won't do this, because I'll run out of energy and I'll run out of enthusiasm, and it will be gone, and I'll regret that. At least if I do it and it fails, I'll know. But so I thought, right, I'm going to give it a try.
I wonder if that doubt bit, though, comes from, sorry, Paul, comes from the fact that you didn't really set out to start a business.
Mm.
Possibly.
It sort of happened. Mm. And then it's that bit about, right, now what do I do with it?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I've got a tweet here from Tracy that's irrelevant to that. She says, the coffee evolution story is great. Unlike the businesses that complained about being asked if they stock light bulbs and batteries. And what she means is, you know, so many businesses are asked things. They go, no, we don't do that. No, we haven't got that. No, we haven't done that. And it never dawns on them that, hold on, you're the 20th person that you've got, you know.
There's even stories
where people go, you're the 40th person that's asked that. No, we don't. And you go, do you think you're missing an opportunity here? And it's a mindset, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those people like Michael and Sonia that succeed with their businesses succeed because they see something that needs doing and they do it.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people see something that needs doing and they moan about it.
Yeah.
And therefore, it doesn't get done. So it's really important that if you see something that you want to do and you try to do it and it works, then you've succeeded and, you know, you've moved your business on, because I'm a great believer that business, like so much of the rest of life, is an evolutionary process. Right. There isn't a particular plan necessarily. There's just a series of events that you can either do or not do that either work or don't work. And then you get feedback from that and you modify what you do. It's a load of micro innovations. You know, without being funny, you could have started doing teas and coffees and nobody could have come in. Okay. So eventually you would have gone, do you know what? We'll take the tables out because they're just in the way.
Of course, yeah.
And do something else. But because they work, then you develop it. And then you develop it from doing morning coffee to afternoon tea. And so on,
and breakfast, and
you know, then you become famous in the whole of East Kent for doing German breakfast, and then before you know it, you know,
you're doing bratwurst.
Yeah, you got bratwurst, and you got a beer keller, and you're selling Lederhosen and all kinds of stuff, and
there, all of a sudden, we've given you a scalable business,
just like that.
Can I have that for free?
And then you're importing Bavarian Oompa bands, and you know, and it all.
And you've got the Whitstable Beer Festival.
Yeah.
I'm going, are you?
Exactly, yeah. She's doing brilliant, isn't she? I mean, we're really loving this.
All without a plan.
I can't believe I missed all this. I can't believe I went down a cake route.
No, stay with the cake. This is just the other bits.
But so many businesses start like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Samsung, the South Korean technology business. Do you know what Samsung started off doing? The guy that invented Samsung had a fish stall. That is the start of his business. He used to sell wet fish on a fish stall. And Samsung Electronics grew out of that business.
How?
I was going to say, electric eels.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you get wet fish to...
Yeah, But because through a process like yours of evolution, that he started, you know, one day the catch didn't come in, so he sold something else, and that sold better and made more money than the fish. So he stopped selling the fish and he started buying, you know, it's like, what's his chops from
Amazon?
The Apprentice? Huh?
Amazon?
Yeah,
but Amazon's the same. Bookstore was online now. Yeah. Really, what do we think they're for? They're really a cloud.
Yeah.
Based.
But yes, Alan Sugar started selling car aerials, you know, from the back of a car. And, you know, you sell stuff and then something happens and nobody buys it anymore, or you get the opportunity to sell something else, or you see an opportunity where people go, why don't you sell coffee? And you grow from there. And that's what happened to Samsung. And eventually they opened a factory making stuff, and then because you did it, yada, yada, yada. Nokia, the failed telephone manufacturer, started off as they grew wood. They made wood pulp. you know, so business is an evolutionary process. It never stops, you know, with one thing, because it can't, because products come and go, and people's mores and desires change, you know. So there's all, you know, I own a coffee shop in Canterbury, kind of, sort of, and we're sandwiched between Costa Coffee, Starbucks, and the other one, whatever they're called, Nero, Cafe Nero. But we get rammed when they're empty. And we get rammed just because we're an independent, and a lot of people in Canterbury go, I'm not going in there. They're big corporate coffee shops. I don't want to spend £5 to have my name spelt wrong on the cup. Yeah? They come and have a proper cup of coffee in a proper cup. So, you know, even in a crowded market, there are things that you can do. And that's the beauty of what you're doing, and you're responding to your immediate customer base, and I love it, and I absolutely adore it, and I think it's the basis of a real business.
Thank you.
We're kind of fast running out of time, Sonia, so thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. I can't wait to sample the broaching.
Thank you very much for having me in.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure.
Notice how she put you down there. You're not
Forget
finishing
it.
Me off. I'm finishing you off.
I'm not telling you where I'm in Herne Bay, if you want to know. If people want to find out about the Whitstable Cake Company, that's on you. What's your Facebook page, website?
Well, it's at Whitstable, at whitstablecake.com. And I'm the Whitstable Cake Company on Facebook.
And you're on Twitter as well.
I'm on Twitter at Whitstable Cake.
Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram.
I was going to say, I bet you do really well on Instagram.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Much better than on Facebook now.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Mm. Completely taken Facebook over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Sonia, thank you so much for that.
Thanks so much.
And all power for you, to you. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
We're fast approaching the end of the show. I need to tell you about this. You got any on?
No, you tell us about, because you need to tell us about that.
Right, it's the Tech Expo, which is coming up at the Kent Event Centre at Detling on Thursday, the 26th of September. It's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the Tech Expo is a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their business more effectively and more efficiently. We have one of the world's top technology companies, Microsoft, providing our keynote seminar, and they will be sharing with us how they are working to support businesses of all sizes. We're also looking at one of the biggest fears we all have, which is staying human in a digital world. So the speaker lineup is this: Brian Sutton from Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help small business. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence on cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, the Chief Executive of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Child and Trial on digital law and intellectual property. And Bill Burton from the Dale Carnegie Organisation, being human in a digital world. There's also some workshops being run by Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 62 Tech, Stop the Sales Pitch and Start the Conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known to all of us as Hax, who's the CEO of Prisma Broadcast, How the Proper Use of Video Can Propel Your Business Forward. Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, Having an Adaptable Content Strategy Plan. All this plus roundtables, panel discussions, networking meetups and much more. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to their website, which is techexpouk.com. If you're a supplier who provides a tech-based solution to help business owners, there are still a few, but not many, stands left. You can be on stand B11 next to us, because we're on B12.
Are you doing a B13?
A B13's free.
Is it?
Yeah, if you want B13.
Do you do a B13?
Yeah, yeah.
Some people don't have a 13.
No, there's B13. Well, it's free at the moment.
Okay.
So you can book B13. There's also some opportunities to sponsor the show. And there's a whole bunch of sponsorship packages. You can find out all about those.
And where?
On techexpouk.com.
See what I did
Check
there.
It out. Yeah, thank Great. You. Cool.
Pleasure.
Good. Have you got anything else
Just
you need
quickie,
to...
Just a quickie.
Yep.
And it's from Diamond Circle Weddings. They're always so great with their gifts, and they've put Bird and a Bike. This is from your neck of the woods, and it's brilliant. It's an article, and they've put, Dear RNLI, thank you for saving our daughter, but can we have £7 for her Lilo?
I saw that story this morning.
And it's just brought it up, because you said about the helicopter. So they've got a great gift that they've just put up there, talking about the helicopter from Whitstable Cake Company. And, they want a refund.
gifts for her lilas.
That? It's a genuine story. Their child was rescued.
The youngster cost £7,000, and they want £7
for the lilo. They didn't bring the lilo in with the child.
I'd send it out there to get it back itself. Yeah.
So anyway, I just loved it because of the helicopter.
You've got to love the same helicopter as well.
Yeah.
You've got to love the general public.
Cool. Have you got anything else that needs reading?
No.
Okay, well, I've got a couple of things.
Well, I have, but carry on. We haven't got time.
Yeah, we're almost at the end of the show. There's the Southern Model Show coming up on the 7th and 8th of September in association with the Maidstone Model Flying Club. And this show will feature a stunning array of model aircraft, helicopters, ships, tanks and other vehicles. And all these events are taking place at Headcorn Aerodrome, Shenley Road, Headcorn. That's near Ashford. If you want to book your event, book your place on the event, it's headcornevents.co.uk. So do check that out. But we're kind of at the end of another show, really, aren't we? There isn't a Business Bunker Extra show this Friday because Amanda's on her holidays still. So she'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. But we'll be back with a Business Bunker show.
It is us next week,
Yeah, next Tuesday we'll be
back. I've got a great guest tomorrow on The Conversation.
Do you do a show on a Wednesday?
It's a global radio show. It's live 1 till 2 on a Wednesday. Mm. And I've got Emma Walk, and she does psychology and counselling with the aid of horses. So you go in there, it's a really different, very niche market again.
She's a horse whisperer.
To people.
Right. So, hold on. She's a horse psychologist for people.
That's correct.
No, you need to explain that one to me.
Come and listen in.
You see what she did there? That's called, in the business, that's called a teaser.
She's good.
Yeah. We're going to listen in at 1 o'clock tomorrow to the conversation.
So.
And what's the lady's name?
Emma Rock.
Emma Rock. I love the name as well.
I know.
Yeah. Dr. Rock.
Rourke.
Mm. Dr. Rourke.
It's just my weird accent.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. And she's local.
Right.
And she asked me, Bird, why don't you come and have a look at it? I just haven't managed to get up there. So I'm looking. It will be interesting to see how horses touch, you know, that therapy absolutely opens people up.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And while we're here, I've just had a quick tweet, which I better read. It's from the lovely Simon Webster, talking about the Money Talk show, which is on this station on Friday at 1 o'clock. And this week he's talking about the trouble Equitable Life got into in 2000, promising unsustainable annuity rates to policyholders, and nationwide research that shows that we're a nation of procrastinators when it comes to saving money. So do tune into that. That's the Money Talk show on Friday at 1 o'clock with Simon Webster. But that's it from us for another week here on the Business Bunker show. We'll be back next Tuesday. You can listen to Bird tomorrow, Wednesday at 1 o'clock on The Conversation. But a huge thank you to Michael from the Vintage Cycle Sport Company, to the lovely Sonia from Whitstable Cake, and to the inimitable, the lovely...
Oh, my life, what am I?
Yeah,
we're looking up in a minute.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. It was a pleasure.
Annette Bunn from the fantastic folks at Rift Accounting.
Rift Accounting, whatever.
Rift Accounting.
That was brilliant.
Was it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul, from the TV.
We'll be back next week with another show. Thank you to everybody for listening in and for your emails and tweets and gifts and everything. We'll be back next week. Have a fantastic week. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.